We are going to the Higginbotham hotline now to visit with Ben Garrett and discuss the Ole Miss spring practice. And we know quarterback going to be probably the biggest question coming out of spring, specifically with a lot of talk about Jackson Dart and him moving up draft boards. If I were to ask you this first, though, Ben, just your thoughts on Jackson Dart with things behind the scene going into the draft that maybe you've seen, you've observed, you've heard about, that have been talked about, that would allow you to believe that he is making this big jump up draft boards.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jackson's had one of, if not the best, pre-draft processes of any prospect in the NFL draft. And from every account, both from Ole Miss Pro Day to the Combine back in February, generally I'm getting the exact same thing. He met one-on-one with Kellen Moore and the New Orleans Saints after Pro Day in March, and they hold the number 9 overall pick. That seems a little rich, but definitely the Giants, the Steelers, the Browns, the Saints have all done extensive work on him. And a lot of it has to do with, number one, of course, the draft class. There's no consensus as far as who is the best of the group. Now, there's a consensus about who's going first overall, and that's Cam Ward. But I think that, you know, this is not a particularly standout, strong draft class for quarterbacks. That's why you're hearing a lot about other quarterbacks climbing up the board. But Jackson has been steady as they go throughout this entire process, on and off. He's tested well. He's interviewed well. And because of the lack of consensus for the draft class itself, and teams are really needing, especially in the back end of the first round, I don't see how he falls out at this point. But you never know with this stuff. I mean, Shedeur Sanders is getting some more run here in the last week and a half, too. So for the longest, it was his QB2 that Shedeur is at Jackson Dart, and opinions were mixed. So you don't ever know for sure. I think one thing that's been interesting is, will he, won't he attend the draft? I mean, he told us straight up at Pro Day that he was going to be going, and now there's rumors he's not going, and then he sends out a picture on Instagram in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and as y'all were talking about with graphics, if a graphic says it's true, it's got to be true. So, that's, you know, you never know, man. You never know with this stuff. I think Jackson's had a great process, and I think, you know, obviously his work at Ole Miss speaks for itself. He broke every significant record, including a couple of his own and all of those of Eli Manning, and Eli was like the standard bearer, you know, for Ole Miss for the longest, and before him was Archie. So I think Jackson deserves a lot of credit, man. He's had a great process.
I like Jackson as a guy. I just wonder about the prospect. You know what I mean? That's kind of my holdup. And while I watched him do some and make some great throws against some of the Furmans of the world, and you know, the Georgia Tech 2 years ago, and watch how he played and made a couple of nice throws against, like, Florida this past year. But then you watch the LSU game, it's like, he takes too long to deliver it. Everything's in slow motion. Like, why is he only looking downfield? I mean, why is it taking them so long to take off? I mean, things like that kind of leave me wondering, like, what is it with the infatuation? I get needing one, but I also feel like there's quite a few flaws within his game that would make me real hesitant in the first round.
Sure, and you could say the same thing about Cam Ward. You could say the same thing about Shedeur Sanders. Any of the top quarterbacks in this draft class, all of them can be nitpicked. You know, the Tennessee Titans decided early on that Cam Ward was their guy, and really that's more of an indictment, in my opinion, on Will Levis than it is on Cam Ward being the consensus best prospect in this draft. He's not, and I would argue he's not the best quarterback necessarily. But, you know, just where you can point out certain games where Jackson did fail to deliver. I mean, I think Florida – was at the end of that game was the worst he looked in his entire career. But then this year against Arkansas, carving them up without – and remember, this year, yes, Trey Harris is a stud and going to be a top two-round pick, but he's hurt for most of the year. Jordan Larkin has dealt with injury as well. He's going to be a potentially drafted player. Juice Wells wasn't what Ole Miss hoped he would be coming from South Carolina until the Gator Bowl, when Jackson Dart really put forth one of his very best performances, made some next-level throws that – made you go, wait, let's reassess here whether or not Jackson Dart is among the very best in this draft class. So with any guy in this class in particular, that was kind of my point, is that you can pick them apart. The one thing that Jackson has on his resume is production, record-setting, record-breaking production, historic production, as well as some next-level tape in his money year without a running game and without receivers or maybe an eclectic mix of receivers at times. And he still produced and took Ole Miss to 10 wins for the third time in 4 years. I mean, I just think Jackson, in this class specifically, maybe not in another one. I mean, in another one, he's probably a second or third rounder, but you saw this with Matt Corral too, and Matt fell to the third. That class was worse because Kenny Pickett led it. This is a better class than that. But I think with all three of these guys, you could talk yourself into first round grades, but also out of your talk yourself out of first round grades. And Jackson, through the whole pre-draft process, has done enough, both through interviews and testing, really, really well, including at Ole Miss Pro Day. Every organization of note, and you had multiple head coaches, including Kevin Stefanski, so Brian Schottenheimer, saw Kellen Moore. I mean, just so many representatives in town to watch, not just Jackson, but Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, and personally Monty Ellen. But Jackson put his best foot forward. So I think it's more about the draft class. And yeah, you can, just like you can certainly and fairly, you know, critique Jackson whether or not he belongs in the first round. That's immaterial now that we're a day or two out, because you're looking at the news and look where teams are. I mean, the Steelers don't have a quarterback on their roster, for goodness sake. I mean, they don't have a QB1. So, it just depends on what team really liking. You know, we know a number of teams have really liked Jackson throughout this process. And I think, you know, right now I'm thinking the Saints or the Giants are probably who come out of the first or second round with him, but, we'll have to see. And, certainly it's going to be a big night for him and for Ole Miss in general, because, you know, the most they've ever had selected in one draft was, I think, 9. That was before drafts were limited to 7 rounds, and they could have double digits this year, which would be record-breaking. So it's going to be a big, big weekend for Ole Miss for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Ben Garrett joining us to talk Ole Miss. So Austin Simmons set to be the next guy at quarterback for Ole Miss, for Lane Kiffin. What have we heard about him coming out of spring football, the growth, and maybe even still some things that need to be worked around before he ends up taking the field as the starting quarterback?
Yeah, he's been great. He really has. I think I saw this morning he's plus 3,300 to win the Heisman next year, below everybody else of consequence. And I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, not necessarily a person nationally, but like, that's good money to bet on, because he had a really good spring. He's the unquestioned number one guy. AJ Maddox's backup got hurt. They brought in Trinidad Chambliss from D2 Ferris State to kind of help him with the run component. But like Lane mentioned in regards to Austin, yeah, he's not the physical put your shoulder down like Jalen Hurts kind of runner that Jackson Dart was, but he's more of a glider, and he wants to sit back there and he wants to diagnose and he wants to pick teams apart, and that's exactly what he did in the spring. I mean, couldn't have been more impressive, and I really do believe he has the potential, you know, as far as just pure talent, to be the best quarterback that Lane Kiffin's had at Ole Miss. I mean, that doesn't knock anything about Jackson Dart or Matt Corral, but just purely from where he's starting. This kid is unmatched in terms of the prospect. Now, there are a lot of things to work on. I mean, first of all, the kid hadn't played much of anything. You know, he was impressive against Georgia last year in spot duty, really turned that game when Jackson Dart went down. But now it's his team, and I think the thing that has impressed me the most is that you speak to any person. It doesn't matter if it's a returner, which there aren't a lot of them anymore, but any transfers like Harrison Wallace from Penn State, and one of the first things they'll talk about is the leadership of Austin Simmons. I think is pretty what you have to have from QB1. I mean, he's the one that's organizing the throwing sessions and the IPF out there on the field when they weren't officially practicing. He'll be doing that in the summer. He's the one that's made an effort to be at all the other sporting events and take teammates with him. So the football aspect of it, they love the talent and the talent show in the spring, but that spring has never been more useless. So the other things you have to look for is, man, how has Austin been? I mean, how has he been in terms of stepping into that leadership role? Because Jackson was so important in that way, especially for a team that's so reliant on transfer culture and pro mindset. QB1 has to be that face, and Austin's been every bit of that. And also, while I want to, like, praise some of these next-level throws you saw in the spring, Ole Miss in the secondary is really just not where it wants to be yet. That's where they're really focusing in the spring portal to kind of shore up. So, you want to temper the expectation because it's his first-year starter and everything, but he has been certainly really impressive. And I think what's really helped him out is that Ole Miss went into this offseason and said, man, they only have one guy coming back in that wide receiver room, and that was Caden Lee. Caden Lee was their second leading wide receiver last year and really good. But they needed to truly surround him with more than just a Juice Wills type of addition. That's not Juice. I think he's going to be a pro player. But they went and got some guys that really hit. DeJon Sterling from Oklahoma State, Harrison Wallace from Penn State, Traylon Ray from West Virginia has been hurt all spring, or was hurt all spring since they're done now. But Deuce Alexander impressed as well. And I love the physicality of Caleb Odom. And that's somebody that Greg knows better than most people. I mean, the question is whether or not he can take that lack of production and all that oozing potential and put it into actual production, right? Same thing with Austin Simmons. So what they've done is built this roster in it, you know, to grow with and around him. And it'll be a fascinating season to watch because I think the range of outcomes are so significant because of what they're betting on or hoping to get out of Austin specifically.
I love the kid. I think he's going to be amazing. I'm a huge believer, and just watching him throw it in person is like it's to be honest with you, way more impressive to me than Jackson Dart just throwing in person. Great, got to apply it to the field. Very different animal, but just warming up, the ball comes off his hands in very impressive fashion. Lastly, the supporting cast that you just referenced, I love Caden Lee, by the way. I think he's kind of exclusively a slot guy. I think Odom's got some length. It's going to be nice to see, but I'm more concerned about the offensive line. In the event in which Singleton doesn't have the mobility that Jackson Dart has, and Dart took a lot of hits last year, how's that offensive line going to look in keeping him upright?
That's a great question, Greg. I think it's the most important one outside of the secondary that they're focusing on in the spring portal, because when the first five was together in the spring, Diego Pounds at left tackle, left guard was P.J. Wilkins, a transfer from Charlotte. Center was Bryson Sanders. Right guard transfer Patrick Kudus from Arkansas, who they really, really like. And then at right tackle was Jaden Williams. When they were together, it looked strong enough, but they were never together. I mean, Diego Pounds, Bryson Sanders, and Jaden Williams missed most of, if not all of, spring in black jerseys when they weren't doing the basic walkthrough stuff. They didn't do a lot of hitting. Bryson did later on, but he's a first-year starter at center. It's his time now. He's been here for multiple years, and they've been kind of developing him for this specific opportunity. So you don't really concern yourself with the talent. It's the talent behind him, the depth behind him. Cam East had a pretty good spring as a swing tackle for Ole Miss, and then he gets in the portal after that pretty good spring to test his options elsewhere, just like he did in the winter portal. You just don't have the depth there. Now, I think they just signed a transfer from Maryland, and Terez Davis, I think, could be a potential starter for them at tackle, but they need a little bit more as well. And they need to see some from the younger guys. You know, I think John Wayne Oliver is a player they really, really like, but and he had a good spring. But does that say more about the lack of depth that they have, or because he's coming on? You just don't know. They don't have the numbers there. So if they could stay healthy up front with that starting five, they'll be able to keep Austin Simmons upright and take care of him. But, you know, again, if the spring is any indication, they just can't count on that. They can't count on that at all. And Jaden Williams has a long storied injury history at Ole Miss. I mean, when he plays, he's Ole Miss's highest graded offensive lineman of the bunch, but it's hard to keep him on the field. So just kind of guarding against that that unknown and volatility, I think, is important because Ole Miss has to cover spaces. I agree with you. When you watch Austin throw the ball, just out there warming up, whatever it might be, he immediately jumps out to you. It's effortless, you know. But making sure that he has everything he needs around him, I think, has been the point of emphasis for Ole Miss. And they took care of him with wide receivers, and defensively, I think they're going to be pretty stout. Again, last year was record-setting. It's going to be near impossible, if not completely impossible, to match that, especially with the secondary that's replacing everybody, too. But I think defensively they're going to be good enough. It just depends on can you keep Austin upright and that offensive line and the starting group. They really like them. They look good, but there's just not enough behind them. So watch out for Ole Miss in the spring portal. They've already added one. They're going to probably add more because they just have to. Austin Simmons is the franchise now. And the first thing you got to do for the franchise is keep the man standing upright. So that'll be what I'm paying attention to for the next couple of weeks.
Ben, where's running back? Because I feel like it's been such a confusing position really since Quinshon left. We felt like we knew who the guy was going to be. Then we didn't see the guy until later in the year last year. Then he plays a little bit. Then he doesn't play. There's 17 guys through the portal that they get, you know, going into spring last year. Some stay, some don't. Logan Diggs is back, but we hadn't seen him play much football recently. Feels like he could be a hammer and be great if he's available. Just kind of give us that room and where it stands today.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was on y'all's show complaining about Ulysses Bentley, and then, like, the next game, Cole texted me because, like, he breaks the 90, whatever, yard, or 70 yard, whatever it was. You know, to say it was a year-long point of contention would be a dramatic understatement, you know, drastic understatement. But it was, you know, it didn't make any sense. You had Micah Davis, who's now at Southern Miss, transferred to Southern Miss, getting starts at running back over other options that they got out of the portal, like Rashad Amos, who's now at, like, I can't even remember. That's the hardest.
Georgia State, I think.
Yeah, there you go. So you're a better man than me. But I think what they've done this offseason is really address that position efficiently and with real depth of options. Chicago Illinois is a high school player that was a four-star recruit that they signed. I did get him for spring, but he was there for a couple practices, and the kid's huge. He's 6'4". He's got a real punishing running style to him. But they love Kewan Lacy. They loved him coming out of high school, and they got him as a transfer from Missouri. Logan Diggs does look healthy. Last year, he just was recovering. I mean, he tore his ACL the last game against – he was the LSU Tiger. So, as much as he wanted to get on the field, almost desperately wanted him because of that spotty running back room that they had, he just wasn't ready. But he looks ready now. But I agree with you. I think he's more of a timeshare kind of running back. So those three are who they've really been leaning on or really are excited to lean on going into next year. But I'm really fascinated by Damian Taylor, the transfer from Troy, 1,000-yard rusher last year. This is a player that was coveted in the portal, not just by Ole Miss, but, you know, Oklahoma, Colorado, a bunch of teams went after him. Ole Miss really made a point to go after transfer running backs in the first portal. Justice Hayes, who's at Michigan, picker guy. There's a number of guys, and the number was so high to get this player at this time and kind of fill a room that I feel is ascending, I think is a really important piece. So, like I said, the roster, while there's a lot to prove, right, there's a lot of guys out there, like there's no sure things that really not many sure things that jump out at you. This roster was built to grow with and around Austin Simmons, and that includes a running back with high upside, if not volatile resumes like Kewan Lacy, Logan Diggs with the injury history, Shekai Mills might have because he's a high school player, but they saw the need too. They knew what the need was, and they're always going to leave themselves open to even more options at running back. But I think Damian Taylor is a huge boost to the room. And don't forget also, Dominic Thomas from Georgia State last year, he's back as a short yardage back. They lost Jordan Simmons, who signed in the winter portal, went through spring, didn't really do much, and then left. So best of luck to him. Almost hardly knew him. But, you know, I think that speaks a little bit, too, about where the running back hierarchy is right now, including Kewan, who had a great spring, Logan, and those guys as well. So it's a better room than it was last year. But I'm with you. I'm going to wait and see it first. You know what I mean? I'm going to wait and see what it looks like first.
Ben, we appreciate the time, man. A lot of information, great information. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Y'all the best. Appreciate y'all.
There you go. Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben. Can follow him on Twitter. You can find his work at the Ole Miss on 3 Network, everything happening around Ole Miss. We'll follow up a little bit of that. Ben Garrett gave us a ton of information. Great visit with us, but kind of hard to leave that conversation, Greg, and not feel pretty good about what Ole Miss is going to bring back specifically on offense. Yet, some of the issues that showed up last year, I'm not sure that they have real answers for, specifically the offensive line. And if they're not going to be as good up front defensively, you just kind of wonder, with some minor issues in the secondary, how is Pete Golding's group going to look compared to how it looked a year ago?
I mean, I'm worried about their defense. I mean, I don't know how else to splice it. I think they have one difference maker up front I feel pretty good about. That's Harris, 51. I like him. Other than that, I don't know about who they have on the interior that I think can be a real game changer. And then on the edges, I think they had such good presence that last year they had 3 or 4 guys that were good off the edge. I don't know who that guy is going to be this year outside of some Taron Perkins, who I like.
He's a good player.
But he's kind of he's really good, but he's kind of one of those guys that's a little bit better off the blitz. He's a little bit better off the fake spy blitz, late pressure, green dog stuff. So yeah, I love him, and he closes like crazy. He's the second fastest guy on the team last year. But I don't know. I don't know about what else they have. I think they lost really good piece at corner in Trey Amos. I thought their safeties were adequate, but not elite. And we all know last year their backup corner, their corner opposite Trey Amos, got torched. That's why they lost games at times. Yeah. Lost one against Kentucky that way, lost one against LSU that way. So I think the defense can struggle. I really see that, kind of like that.
Offensively, Jackson Dart could manage a little bit of the offensive line stuff because of just his intelligence, his toughness, his mobility. It feels like if the offensive line is similar to what it was last year, it will be even more problematic for Ole Miss this year.
Unless they can run the ball. You know what I mean? Like, they were a little bit too drop-back heavy last year, partly because of their running back depth.
But is Ole Miss a team that can run the ball because they can throw the ball, or can just run the ball?
But, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, what they've been has been a team that runs it to take pressure off the throw. Not really, you know, being married to the run game. But I think that if you can run the ball a little better than they did last year because they have better depth at running back, then they're going to be in a pretty good spot to keep people honest defensively. Like the teams would just sell out against the pass last year
fair.
From time to time. I mean, just no regard for human life, straight vertical pass rush. Like, that's hard. I don't care what the circus is. That's hard. And then I don't think the tackle's that good to begin with. I don't think the interior guys are that good to begin with. So when you have just straight vertical passing attack and all I got to worry about is quarterback draw, that makes it tough on the O-line. So I think that their willingness to commit to the run a little bit more will take some of the heat off.
Yeah, I would be with you there. And there are some concerns defensively, obviously, with what's going on and who's going to be gone. And not knowing exactly who those replacements are going to be going into next season. So when you kind of look at it in its totality, last year we went into the year thinking, okay, this is playoff or bust. This is a team that should be in the playoffs. Do you view it that way this year? And
no.
What's going to be acceptable from Ole Miss fans?
I like their schedule. I don't view them necessarily as a slam dunk playoff team. Last year they should have been in the playoffs. Like roster wise, last year's roster had no business not making the playoffs. Now they didn't because they, you know, wet the bed a couple times, but they absolutely had the talent to be in the playoff. Frankly, if you look at their losses last year, all three of them in the regular season, they really shouldn't have lost any of the three.
Right.
And they were in full control of two out of the three. And then the Florida one was weird because they couldn't get a short yardage play to save their life. I mean, like how many different short yardage stops did Florida have? So, I mean, you really look at it. I think if they go 9-3 again this year, it'd be great. It'd be great. I don't think that's going to be enough to get to the playoff.
I don't think that'll be enough either. And two, it's still going to be a first-year starting quarterback. And even though there were some lulls with Jackson Dart last year, you'd imagine the valleys are going to be much greater than the peaks next year than they were this year.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.